Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning on this Mother's Day, and I just want to thank all the mothers that we have in this church and for all the things that you do, not for only your children, but the children that we have that come to the church. This morning, I want to talk about the influence of godly mothers and grandmothers. If you got your Bible, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. A mother or a grandmother are precious gifts to their family. She's sometimes a provider for her family, a teacher, a ringleader, a friend. She's the one that makes a house a home. Mothers fill their days with caring for their families in every way. They taxi the kids all over the place. White little noses keep the madhouse running smoothly, or at least running. They make sure everyone is fed and clothed. They often work outside the home or volunteer to help with different things at other organizations. They make time for their husbands and sometimes even for themselves. Mothers are indeed remarkable women. They are priceless gifts from God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." Verse number 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." As Paul thought very highly of Timothy and his sincere faith, he was reminded that such faith also dwelt first in Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and in his mother, Eunice. Mothers and grandmothers that are strong in their faith and live godly lives can have a positive impact on their kids and grandkids. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You know, I thank the Lord that I had some godly training as a child, some godly mothers in church. You know, not all kids have godly mothers or grandmothers. You know, kids need spiritual guidance from mothers inside the church and even outside the church. But not all families have a godly mother or a godly grandmother. So when we get kids inside the church, we need to do the best that we can to train them and teach them how to be godly. You know, I can remember as a kid that we had some ladies in the church and even some men in the church, but the ladies, they would come around and they would pick us up and bring me and my brother and sister to church, and they would teach us in Sunday school. And it's because of that, just like it says train up a child. You know, we had to have some training. If it had not been for those ladies coming around and picking us up and bringing us to church, we would not have got that training. And because of that, even years later, you know, I can remember those ladies, and some of them are still alive, but many of them have gone on to be with the Lord. But it's because of that training and them instilling some things in me that I am what I am today. If it had not been for those ladies, I probably wouldn't be behind this pulpit this morning. In many cases, the mother and grandmother play a big role in the kind of training or upbringing a child gets. Many kids have a worldly upbringing and are trained to love worldly things instead of godly things. I would say that Timothy had a godly upbringing and that he was taught by a godly mother and grandmother that had great faith. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:5 that Timothy had unfeigned faith. That word unfeigned means genuine. He had real faith. And that faith dwelt first in his grandmother Lois and then in his mother Eunice. Having a sincere faith doesn't imply perfection, but it does imply reality with God. Such faith dwelt in these women. It was at home in them, a comfortable, everyday sort of thing. Sincere faith means that you have sincerely believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It means that you walk with Christ every day, spending time in His Word and in prayer. It means that you develop godly character, qualities, and attitudes of submission, thankfulness, and joy in the Lord. If you have a godly mother or grandmother, you should be thankful for her walk with God. Not only are godly mothers women of sincere faith, but they also seek to hand off that faith to their children. Timothy's faith could be traced back through his mother, to his grandmother. He could see the Lord in them, and it attracted him to the Lord. How can you hand off your faith to your kids? One of the main ways is by training them in God's Word. Godly mothers honor God's Word and train their children in it. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Timothy had been taught the scriptures from a child. It's important to teach the word of God to children in order to bring them to salvation. Salvation comes through faith, and faith comes by the word of God. The main way your children will grow up to love and serve the Lord through his word, the best thing you can do for your kids is to instill in them from an early age the importance of reading, studying, memorizing, and obeying God's word. Mothers and grandmothers, children need to be brought to church, but more importantly than that, they need to be taught God's word, and that can't be done only on Sunday mornings. It must start at home. It needs to be a daily routine. Godly mothers will use God's word to not only teach their children about God, but other kids as well. Salvation is built on the knowledge of the truth that is revealed in the scripture. Children need to know more than that Jesus loves me. They need to know more about Jesus than he was a baby born in a manger. All those things are great, but they also need to know about the plan of salvation. They need to know that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again. They need to know that the only way to heaven is by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that there is no other way. They need to know that salvation is by grace through faith, and that it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We need more grandmothers like Lois and more mothers like Eunice to teach our kids to have faith like Timothy. Charles Spurgeon said, "For 5 years as a child, there was nothing before my eyes but my guilt, and though I do not hesitate to say that those who observe my life would not have seen any extraordinary sin." Charles Spurgeon was a minister's son in England. Charles Spurgeon said, "As I looked upon myself, there was not a day in which I did not commit such gross, outrageous sins against God that often I wish I had never been born." After writing many more pages describing his guilt for disobeying God, he goes on to say, "Then I was brought down to see my corruption, my wickedness, and my filthiness." Look in Psalms chapter 58. Psalms chapter 58, in verse 3, it said, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." You know, we come out of the mother's womb, sinners. Charles Spurgeon said that every Sunday evening his mother would stay home with the children, read it and explain the scriptures to them, and plead with them to think about the state of their souls and to speak and to seek the Lord. He remembers one time her praying, "Now, Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it will not be from ignorance that they perish." You know, a lot of kids are ignorant to God's word. They don't know God's word because they're not taught God's word. And we, or mothers and grandmothers, and us, even us as a church, need to not let the kids in this community be ignorant to God's word. It says, "It will not be from ignorance that they perish." Spurgeon's father was often away from home preaching. Once, as he was on his way to a service, he feared that he was neglecting his own family while caring for the souls of others. So he turned back and went home. When he came into his house, everything was quiet except for the voice of his wife behind the bedroom door. He listened and heard her pleading earnestly in prayer for salvation for all her children, and especially for her strong-willed firstborn, Charles. His father thought that his wife, caring so well for the spiritual interest of her children, he could go about the Lord's business, so he left again for his preaching engagement without disturbing her. Charles Spurgeon got saved at age 15 in a church in the middle of a snowstorm, with a preacher using only these words in Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. In the middle of that snowstorm, Charles Spurgeon went into this church to get out of the snow, or out of the weather, and the preacher was behind the pulpit, and he spoke these words. He said, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Charles Spurgeon had been convicted of his sins on many occasions because of his mother's faithfulness to pray and to teach him God's words. And it was on that day that those few words spoke to Charles Spurgeon, and it stuck in his heart, and he knew that he was a sinner, and he repented and got saved. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, it says, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." You know, the reason Charles Spurgeon and those words spoke to him because, and he got under conviction, is because from a child his mother had prayed for him. His mother had read and taught him the Bible on many occasions. And she had laid a foundation for him to build on. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to be building a foundation for our children to build on. It says she had taught Charles Spurgeon the word since he was a child, and now it was up to him to do something with it. Charles Spurgeon later became a preacher. It sure wouldn't hurt for us to have some more godly, Bible-believing preachers and Sunday school teachers that aren't afraid to tell the truth. But you must train up a child to be godly and have faith in the Lord. Most kids won't learn that on their own. You know, it's easy for our kids to learn all the things of the world, but it's very difficult for them to learn the things of the Lord, because, like the Bible says, you got to train a child. It said from when they come out of the mother's womb, they're already wanting to do wrong. Who knows what lifelong influence Lois and Eunice had on young Timothy. Sure, he was strengthened greatly through his relationship with Paul, but the foundation was laid by his godly mother and grandmother. Charles Spurgeon says, "Never could it be possible for any man to estimate what he owes to a godly mother. Certainly, I have not the powers of speech with which to set forth my valuation of the choice blessing which the Lord bestowed on me in making me the son of one who prayed for me and prayed with me. Mothers and grandmothers, don't ever stop praying and praying for and praying with your children. Take time to read the Bible to them and tell them about Jesus. Be sure that you lay a good foundation for your children to build on. Mothers and grandmothers, if you don't teach your children about Jesus and about the things that are eternal, then someone else will teach them about the things of the world. Our children need a good, godly foundation to build on. Mothers and grandmothers, what kind of foundation are you building for your children and grandchildren to build on? Is it a worldly foundation, or is it a foundation built on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Got a few things about godly mothers. Number one, a godly mother fears the Lord. Look at Psalms 111:10. Psalms 111:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." So number one, a godly mother fears the Lord. Number two, a godly mother trusts the Lord. Look at Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." So number two, a godly mother trusts the Lord. Number three, a godly mother willingly does the work the Lord has given them to do. Look at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 13. It says, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." So number three, a godly mother willingly does the work the Lord has given them to do. Number four, a godly mother keeps a pure heart. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Number four, a godly mother keeps a pure heart. Number five, a godly mother builds up her house. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. It says in Proverbs 14:1, it says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." So number five, a godly mother builds up her house. Number six, a godly mother is a wise steward of her home, time, and resources. Look back at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31:27. It says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." So number six, a godly mother is a wise steward of her home, her time, and her resources. Number 7, a godly mother has some godly wisdom and speaks with kindness. Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So number 7, a godly mother has some godly wisdom and speaks with kindness. Number 8, a godly mother trains her children in the way they should go. Proverbs 22:6. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, I believe that kids, you know, even, you know, I've got a teenage boy and he's out in the world, but I believe, you know, he's had some Bible teaching. He's been in church, so I believe, you know, he's got that stuff instilled in him. And even though he's out in the world right now, I believe through prayer and having faith in the Lord that one day he'll turn his life around and he'll get back in church. And I believe that's why you need to train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Number 8. Number 8, a godly mother trains her children in the way they should go. Number 9, a godly mother seeks the Lord for guidance in raising and training her children. Isaiah 54:13. Isaiah 54:13, it says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Number 9, a godly mother seeks the Lord for guidance in raising and training her children. Number 10, a godly mother seeks godly counsel. Look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. It says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. A godly mother seeks godly counsel. And that's what I have for this morning. Lord God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for just being able to come out to your house, Lord. We thank you for all the mothers and grandmothers that we have here at the church, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for our mothers and grandmothers, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for our wives, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you just be with Brother Drew in the next hour, Lord, as he brings the message, Lord. I pray that you just be with the singing, Lord. And I pray that you be with all the ones that come out to your house this morning, Lord, to hear your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.